Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to the Big Life Podcast on Full Service Radio. We are Lina Salazar
and Ingrid Vaishus,
broadcasting live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. When we're stressed and burned out, our lives become small. On the weekend, rather than taking a break from work email, we feel the urge to always be on. We can sleep because our minds wander back to our to-do lists, and we skip lunch because we have back-to-back meetings. Living a big life is the opposite. We live beyond work and deadlines, and we prioritize the things that we value the most. In the big life, we hold inspiring and honest conversations with locals about the aha moment that helped them transition to living a bigger and more fulfilling life.
Today's topic is a really important one. We're talking all about boundaries today and setting boundaries. And for many of us, this is not an easy skill to develop. I feel like all of us have struggled with setting boundaries at some point or another. But the results of learning how to set boundaries are so important in order to minimize our stress and just take control over our lives. We are so excited to welcome Leslie Santa to talk all about boundaries. Leslie is a licensed independent clinical social worker in the District of Columbia and has a private psychotherapy practice in DuPont Circle. She specializes in the treatment of adults who are struggling with trauma, grief, and loss, and all things motherhood. We're excited about this conversation, so welcome, Leslie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Leslie, welcome. It's great to have you on the show. Just a few minutes ago, we couldn't stop talking outside, so we have to continue with this amazing energy during this conversation. Why don't you start by telling our listeners a little bit of what you do?
Oh, so I am a psychotherapist, mm-hmm. and I have a practice in DuPont Circle where I work with adults and help them with various issues, and it's a awesome career. I love it.
So, and it was funny because a few minutes ago you were talking about that, the fact that this week the topic of boundaries came out in all of your sessions with your patients, your clients.
Well, this is a thing that I think happens maybe in other professions too, but as a therapist, like I might read something and then that's all I see and
yeah,
hear.
The red car.
And I've been thinking about boundaries and what we were going to talk about today. I just heard it in every conversation. And I, one thing I was thinking was, well, maybe people come to therapy because we're struggling with boundaries. Mm-hmm. And what a helpful way to frame that for people.
So why don't we start by that? Sure. Let's define boundaries.
What are boundaries?
What are boundaries?
Big,
that's a big question, right?
But it's also such a, it's boundaries mean so many things, but simply put, boundaries are where are the space between where I end and you begin. Mm-hmm. And we can think about boundaries like personally, emotionally, with work, physical boundaries, like in relationships, time, energy. My guess is as we're going to talk, we're probably going to talk mostly about personal relationships mm-hmm. and maybe at work, maybe mm-hmm. emotional boundaries. When we want to think about healthy boundaries, like I think a visual that can be really helpful is think of a boxing ring. So there's like a clear yes. delineation of like what is in and what is out. But like if you push up against the ropes, it doesn't break.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's some flexibility, but also it doesn't, you don't just keep going. Mm-hmm. And, I think boundaries can really help us define, like, what's okay and what's not okay mm-hmm. in relationships.
And so. in your practice, how is not setting boundaries unhealthy? Like, what are sort of, like, the outcomes of not setting boundaries?
There's two different ways. I think when we don't have a boxing ring, right, we're either too rigid or we're too porous, mm-hmm. right? So someone with too rigid boundaries keeps people at a distance and says no too easily. And then where that leaves us is being isolated and lonely and unfulfilled. People with too porous boundaries, like, they get walked all over, right? This is ill-fated attempt to get love by saying yes to everything and not being able to take care of themselves. Does that
make sense?
I think that maybe what you're thinking, right? Like I like talking more about like specific situations or settings in which you can set boundaries would be helpful for people to understand the concept of boundaries.
Oh, totally. I feel, because we were talking about it earlier, it's like you have a family space setting and how do you set the boundary there and how does that look different maybe in your work life, right? Well, they may be similar for some people, but they might be very different.
Yeah, I mean, I think we actually, our ability to set boundaries are going to be different in every setting.
Exactly.
Right? So we might actually be really healthy about having work boundaries. Like, I leave work at this time and I'm okay saying to my boss, you know, I appreciate you thinking of me for this project, but I actually don't have time on my plate, right? But in our home life, we might not have those boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. We might say yes to everything or not be able to know the difference between...
Or like, I feel like sometimes saying no in specific family situations, right? When it comes to hosting guests, having people over, going to a party, the holidays are coming, and that creates a lot of stress for people. I know I see it with my clients. As the holidays approach, suddenly it's work is fine, but the family situation starts to get murky, right? There's parties, there's get-togethers, and so we begin to see the stress level rise. And it's hard for people, and I find... In general, I see it more with women in that saying no is really hard. It's very charged.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels selfish. We feel guilty. There's almost like this false belief that if we put our needs above or other people's needs above ourselves, then like we're better.
Yes.
And I think what I'm trying to argue here is that's. You know, you can be a really generous person and have boundaries.
Yes.
Like, you can, because you get to choose how generous you want to be. So, like, you know, there's sometimes I see with people, with friendships and family, that they, when they can't set boundaries, they end up spending time with people and giving a lot of energy to people they don't actually want to be around, and then not giving enough energy to the people that they care about. And their life can feel really disjointed in that. Like, I'm doing all these social things, but I don't actually get anything from it.
And for me, that's also the unhealthy part of not setting boundaries, right? It's not only the stress levels and the burnout, but it's also sometimes that leads to resentment.
Oh, yeah.
And I talk about my own experience when I say yes precisely to satisfy or to please other people, which is very common in, exactly, yes, women.
Mm-hmm.
Then I resent those people because then I create expectations about what that person, how that person should respond. So that creates an unhealthy feeling and emotional state inside of me, right? So, and that it's also unhealthy because in the long term, it builds up this sort of like resentment, being totally honest and transparent about my human nature, right? And Leslie, what other skills... Because, Ingrid, when she introduced it, she presented setting boundaries as a skill, and I completely agree. It's something that we need to train ourselves in, and it's not an innate ability. So what other skills do you think are necessary to develop to learn how to set boundaries? Or what are the things that you need to learn about yourself to set boundaries?
You know, where we start always is awareness. Like, we can't do anything about this if we have no idea that this is going on. So if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh my gosh, I think that this is happening, congratulations, because that's actually the first step to all the next steps that we need to take about setting boundaries. But I think we can't do this unless we have some insight. And that's if we want to talk to friends or if you're going to talk to a therapist about this. I think it'd be really helpful to have supportive people who, this is a conversation. This is a process. This is not something you wake up tomorrow and say, I now have boundaries and I know how to use them. It's like, actually a really, you know, there's some clients I've been working with for years on this that it's taken that long for them. And now they're doing amazing and their life is so much more fulfilling because they're trying. And, but it's a process. It's not like we do it and we're done.
Yeah, we don't order boundaries on Amazon.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It's like this muscle that you have to constantly
it's a muscle.
Use.
Yeah.
It's hard because I feel like, in my experience, sometimes it's easier for me to set the boundary at work and be like, okay, this is where my day ends. This is what I'm doing. This is how I detach myself from the work situation. But when it comes to family, it gets much more tricky because there's so much more baggage around it.
And that is, and maybe, Leslie, you can talk like to this a little bit about the guilt, right? There's a lot of, in terms of like family, well, also work, yes, but it's mostly about guilt, right? Of, in my case, for example, and I see a lot of, in my, as a health coach who works with women who struggle with body image and emotional eating, I see that it's a common denominator, these, when it sort of like this guilt associated with, and again, this is, I'm talking about my personal experience, with religion, right? Sort of like being a good daughter, a good granddaughter, a good student, a good, right? And all of those things sort of like impose these roles on me. And when I want to say, no, I'm tired, I cannot talk to my parents every day, let's say, for example, then there's this guilt of like, oh, maybe I should, even if I'm tired, and right? So what? How do you see that in your practice?
Well, okay, so I think guilt, and whether we're talking about boundaries or not, guilt we should always be suspicious about. Because guilt is really, we feel real guilt when we've done something wrong.
Great, that's like a flag, right? That's
right, like, so, and like I don't, what you're talking about, like you didn't really do anything wrong, right? So we should always, it's like, think of it as a red flag and be suspicious, like be in like an inspector and say, like, hold on a second, what did I really do wrong here? And I think to me, it's also a sign that like something, there's a twisted boundary here. There's something that is, I don't know what is mine and what is theirs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like guilt is great. Are there any other red flags that you're like, okay, if I'm feeling this, then something needs to change?
Yeah, I think, well, okay, so what we're really talking about are when we have, like, the porous boundaries, right? So I think another big one is resentment, right? Maybe, like when we overshare might be a big one. Like, because that really means, like, you don't know exactly how to make your own decisions. So, like, let me, you know, I'm sure you guys see this, like, where, like, something happens and let me tell every person in my life and get their opinions, and then I'll somehow come up with my own opinion on whatever the situation I'm facing. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's also a big one, like kind of oversharing everything, not being able to contain something and figure it out with themselves. Because really, healthy boundaries also means like you have an identity, you understand who you are and where you end. There's a bunch of red flags.
No, I mean, I feel like that's guilt, resentment, oversharing. Is there anything else that you feel and that you see more frequently?
Well, difficulty saying no, right? That's a really common one, right? Like when we know I'm saying yes to this because I'm avoiding a conversation. Like I'm avoiding something that's really hard. I'd rather just like suck it up and do this than say like the fear of, you know, rejection and abandonment and hurting someone's feelings is a big one.
I feel like a lot of it is around like doing things that you feel like you should do as opposed to what you want to do.
Totally.
Exactly. That to me has been
should
like,
is also a big word.
I should be doing this, but wait, is it should or want? If I want to do it, then it's a clear answer. It's like yes. But when I get into the should, then that's when I know that something's
Let's put that on the list of red flags.
Yes, but also I think it's a very nuanced topic, right? It's not black or white. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes yes, you should do things.
Well, of course.
Sometimes your grandmother is sick and yes, you should call her.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. Or sort of like you get my point. So, but yes, definitely that's definitely a red flag. Mm-hmm. I would also love to talk about, we would also love to talk about, because I've been thinking about the settings in which we can set boundaries. And a lot, many times it's we like, you know, I have clients who they have FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. And they say yes to every happy hour, every dinner, and they cannot tolerate being on their own. But there's also the ones at work, the ones with family, but there's also, I feel, boundaries with yourself. And that comes, maybe Ingrid identifies, because as entrepreneurs, solopreneurs who are working on their own, it's very hard to know when is my boundary of like, I should stop working, right? Or I should stop making this session or this presentation even better, right? When do I stop? So it's about setting boundaries with yourself. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, again, healthy boundaries are about understanding who you are and what's okay and what's not okay. So I think that's just that these are individual lines. Like my line, where I end and you begin, is going to be different than yours.
And I think that's why the red flags and these questions are useful, because nobody can, like, where's the guilt? Does it make you feel guilty? What might make me feel guilty is probably not a question or issue for you at all. So I think that these red flags are super useful.
I think there's also, I want to think about when we override our inner voice, right? So, like, an example for me this week, like, I had to sign something and scan something to somebody else. Very simple task. 15 minutes in, I was like, why isn't this working? And I said, there was a part of me that was like, stop and get back to your work. But I couldn't stop. Like, you know.
I've been there, yeah.
45 minutes in, I was like, wow. Like, what a waste of time. Mm-hmm. This is really not going to work. And I, you know, it wasn't a big deal when I said to the person, this isn't working, I got to move on. But 45 minutes of my life was wasted, totally, totally wasted this week. And there was a point where I overrode my own voice that said, just move on, right? Does that make sense to you?
Like, totally.
We really need to pay attention to that, the boundary, the internal boundary that's saying, like, okay, enough.
And we're so conditioned to hear the outside voices, and we're constantly overwhelmed with information.
I wanted to send that email to this person so that they could move on with the task, right? Like, I didn't want to disappoint them, and
so,
like, and by the way, they didn't care at all.
Tuning out that external
They weren't expecting the email.
They were like, thanks for getting back so quick. So,
yeah, that's clear. How about, do you think that, because what's your take on thinking of boundaries as self-preservation, like self-care?
Absolutely. They go hand in hand. They are like, I think that boundaries are a massive component to self-care. Okay. Because, so here's the thing, we have so many of our own problems. And that is what I'm responsible for. But if I take on your problems, like, how am I ever going to do mine and yours? Right? So we really need to just think about our own line and what we are responsible for. You know, it's our job to lay down the line, and then it's not actually our responsibility to take care of what happens to the other person's reaction to it.
Exactly.
It's our job to do it as respectfully and calmly as possible.
Okay.
But you know, we can't manage the other person's feelings.
Exactly. I think that's like the perfect segue to take a break and then move into being practical about how we go about setting boundaries. So we're going to be taking a short break, but stay tuned for the second part of our conversation, where we'll continue to talk to Leslie about practical tips and suggestions on how to actually start setting boundaries effectively without feeling guilt or regret.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Big Life Podcast on Full Service Radio. We are
Ingrid Vaishus
and Lena Salazar, broadcasting live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C.
For those of you just joining us in our conversation, we've been talking to Leslie Santa about the power of setting boundaries to minimize stress and prevent burnout. Leslie's a licensed independent clinical social worker in the District of Columbia and has a private psychotherapy practice in DuPont Circle. We've just spent the first half of the conversation understanding what boundaries are, why are they so important, why we need to start setting them in order to reduce the stress in our daily lives, right? And part of what we were talking about is we're not responsible for other people's reactions to what we decide is good for us, right? And so I feel like this part of the conversation is more about how do we go about setting these boundaries if it's not something that we are comfortable with or that we have any experience with, but also why are boundaries so hard to set, right?
Right. I mean, you know, these are actually deep-seated issues. This isn't like a simple, quick fix. Like this comes from a really primal, deep place. And some of this is that this probably wasn't modeled for you, right? This is kind of a modern age way to keep yourself safe. And so, like, it's really hard to do things without models. Like, it's really hard to do things if you're, especially if your family does it the exact opposite, right? Yeah. If actually the norm is to, like, just do everything for everyone else and not talk about it and be the martyr. It's very hard to do and to break that mold. You know, I think really when we think about like the loose or the porous boundary, you know, we're really afraid of like getting rejected. We're afraid of being abandoned and left, you know, if I set this boundary, are they going to want to still talk to me anymore? Am I still going to be loved? Are they not going to like me anymore?
I think also disappointing people. I see that come up a lot for my clients. It's like, if I say no to this, they're going to be disappointed in me. And if I disappoint someone, then that means I'm not good enough. And it happens at the family level, but also in work life, right? If I say no to this new assignment, then I'm going to disappoint my boss.
Closing?
And exactly.
Yeah.
What door am I closing and what am I not allowing myself to move forward or up towards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always, what door am I closing? What am I losing, right? Sort of like the missed opportunity, right? Yes, that I also see that a lot.
But you know, I don't know if you guys have ever faced this before, but sometimes someone offers you something and without hesitation, you're like, yes, I don't care what sacrifice I have to make, I will do that. And that is so nice to say yes to. Right? Like to say, this is the door I actually wanted to have open, right? And sometimes your boss will come to you and say, do this. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited I get to do this. Right? We're making room for that when we say no to the other things that we don't actually want to do or be responsible for.
It's a lot about, like, in my own experience, again, and from what I see with my clients, it's a lot about, and Ingrid touched upon it in the first part of this conversation, about knowing what you want. And for me, it's also about identifying, which takes time, what your values are. And also, this is like a Zen quote, like, the most important thing is remembering the most important thing, right? And it's also that, because right currently we're so overwhelmed with information, technology, demands, ambitions, that we have so much on our plate, and unless we prioritize and remember what are the important things that are sort of like leading us to our achieved goals or desired reality, then we run the risk of saying yes to a lot of things and burning out. So it's also a lot about finding your compass, your values, and what things that sort of like the criteria to say yes to this, no to this, right? Yeah, so it's a lot about finding your values and what you want, what you were saying earlier.
I mean, it's identity. It's actually
it's
learning
identity,
who you are and what you're okay with. I mean, and sometimes, like, you know, the boxing ring, there is some give. Like, we make exceptions.
Yeah, of course.
Sometimes we do things.
But the better, I feel like the better we are at setting the boundary, then the more room there is to make that exception every so often to do the thing that maybe you don't want to do, that you should do, but because your boundaries are so clear or you're getting better at it, then whenever you have to kind of maybe make it a little bit more porous, it doesn't become this overwhelming thing that is just super stressful. You can manage it more efficiently.
And you know, I work with so many people who've resisted this when I talk to them about it for so long, and then when they try it, they're like, whoa.
Okay. It's like they open a door.
Yeah, they're nothing like, wow, happens. That was like, and you know, the only way you really maybe will believe us is if you try it.
Exactly. So like moving on this, like if someone is super resistant, then has heard about boundaries but is really doesn't know where to start. Yeah. How do you go about?
You know, I think one thing, we need support. So get a boundary partner, okay? Yeah. So, you know, I'm sitting with boundary two buddies. Wonderful health coaches here. You know, get a therapist. If there's a friend who speaks this language, you know, like, I think it's really important we have support, that we can practice this conversation. You know, there's sometimes that even I, like, you know, this is what I talk about day in, day out. Like, I'll grab a colleague and be like, this is how I'm going to say this, right? And they're like, mm-hmm. that's great, right? But I have to practice it too, because yes. it's still, yeah. you know, like, I'm in this job because I like to help people, and it's very hard for me to say no too. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think the first thing we need to do is don't do this alone, right? Because then, like, we just, you know, like, who knows where we're going to go with it, okay? So, and start small. I mean, yeah. let's pick one little thing.
So, like, let's try and give people
an example. Yeah, I was thinking an example. So, like, so something that a lot of my various clients have talked about over the years is, like, if they have a friend maybe who's calling them a lot, like a friend's going through a breakup, and they, you know, they want to be the friend that is called, and they're like, I'm supporting this person, but, you know, maybe they've had a really bad day. And time and time again, they'll kind of override that and say, I talked to my friend. I didn't do the things I needed to do for myself. Do you understand?
Yes, right. Yes, yes.
So, you know, this is a good example of like how we, what the language we want to use around this. So a client would come in, I would be their boundary partner in this, and we would practice, like, how do we have this conversation? I think what's really important is that we're clear, and, you know, clear is kind. Like, we also don't need to defend this or over elaborate. Like, it's a simple, you know, I know you're going through a really hard day. I'm having a hard day too, and I really need to, I need to you know, take care of myself tonight, but we can talk about this again tomorrow. I think actually what we're creating space for in our friend's life is for them to say, oh, maybe I'm over-relying on my friend. Maybe I need to talk to some, like, a professional help, or maybe I need to sit with this on my own. Like, we can't assume that we are going to abandon them and they're going to have the worst night ever.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, going small, like, micro steps, like, starting small. Yeah. But I also love the fact that you talk about boundary support. For me, it helps, like writing it down.
Yeah.
Because, exactly, you want to be kind. It's not about, be kind. And you need to practice. This is a skill. You need to practice.
I think the other really important thing is that when we state a boundary, like, it is not a miracle. Especially with family, actually. So when we say, hey, guys, I know you're coming to town, but I am not planning the entire weekend, okay? Mm-hmm. So that there's the boundary. Mm-hmm. Your family shows up, and they're like, what are we doing this weekend?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I'm just going to, right? Like, mm-hmm. We have to reinforce the boundary. Yeah. We have to say, yeah, you know, I had a really busy week, and I couldn't think it through. So what do you guys want to do?
Yeah.
Exactly. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally does. And I think, like, that's very useful.
If we actually state the boundary and then let them walk over it, we're just undermining, we're actually making it a lot worse. They're not going to take us seriously in the future.
Mm-hmm. And, that's true. And if we don't stay in the boundary, yes. mm-hmm. that's also important.
It's our job to put it out there, and it's our job to reinforce it.
And I feel like with family specifically, I think it gets pushed on a lot, right? You'll put it out there, and you're like, yeah, I'm done. And then it's like, oh, no. Because there's so much, I feel, like, baggage and old habits and things that you weren't modeled, like you said. So we need to stick to it in a kind way. And how do we go about making sure that we're kind? And how, because I feel like that's where people might have problems too. It's like, okay, I'm going to set this boundary, but how do I do it in a way that the reaction that I get back from people is not one of, you're being selfish, you're being rude, you're not being thoughtful,
yeah.
you're not being kind.
I mean, we can try our best, but mm-hmm. sometimes that is the reaction, right? Because what we're actually really pointing out to the person we're saying this to is, like, your boundaries aren't very healthy either, right? We're kind of saying, like, we're both in this together, mm-hmm. and maybe they're not ready to have this conversation, so you might, you know, get some kickback on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see that it's very clear that you need to accept that other people, the other person's reactions might not be what you expect or desire. You have to sort of, like, detach from the outcome.
It makes me think, actually, the thing we haven't talked about yet is, like, mm-hmm. this is really also, like, our fear of confrontation, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we Absolutely. Go to great lengths to, like, just avoid something uncomfortable or, you know, Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what this is that this is uncomfortable. This isn't, people aren't going to like this.
Which is also that primal instinct, right, of self-preservation. It's like, I don't want to make situations difficult. I don't want to bother anyone. I want to belong. So,
right.
Yeah.
I
think this is, do you want to add something? I would love, Leslie, do you have any books?
Oh, yeah.
Or interesting resources about boundaries? I don't know. There's sometimes like great authors. I cannot think of. I recently read a book by Susan David called Emotional Agility. And it was a great book on how do we become more emotionally agile, right? And she definitely talked about boundaries and about where do I start? Where do I begin? Where do I begin? my boundary ends? So that's definitely a book that I would recommend for those who want to set boundaries, learn how to set boundaries, but also leaning into the emotions and the discomfort. And the reasons why you feel uncomfortable when you set boundaries.
So I recommend any book by Brené Brown is going to be helpful.
And that's very good.
Right. And so and people often in my practice say like, oh yeah, like I gave that to my mom, and I actually we might read those books, but like when we're actually doing the work, we can tell. You can tell in your life. You can say, oh, I can see that person's actually trying those things. It's not just about reading them. It's saying like, okay, well, I'm actually going to try this vulnerability thing.
And she's a researcher, right? Sometimes because she's so open about her content and she shares it freely, let's say. Sometimes I think people find it like a self-help kind of thing, but she's a researcher, so there's a lot of like scientific and data and study behind all of her results and knowledge. Yeah.
Well, so Brené's actually a social worker, so she's like a god in my field. Like, she's friends with Oprah now, so you know, it's kind of amazing.
I saw her on Oprah. Yeah.
But she, you know, she really became known because she has this TED Talk, and I actually often have my clients watch this because it's short and it gets straight to the point, and she's like,
great.
She's a really good storyteller, and
she's a great
and she appeals to the resistance in people. So I'm highly recommend if you don't know who we're talking about to look her up. Brené Brown,
and she also has that great documentary, her like Netflix. On Netflix.
Yeah,
really so cool to courage.
Yeah. Right,
she's also so funny and great at storytelling, as you said.
You know, the other. Well, this is kind of stepping back about this, but I think it's really helpful if you're interested in this is to think about how we attach to people. And like why we have a hard time not doing what our family, even though we're like, I want to be very different from my family. And we end up just like basically repeating everything we know. Mm-hmm. So, there are a bunch of books out there, but the one my clients always come in and want to talk about is this book called Attached. Mm-hmm. And it can really help us understand kind of like what our attachment style is, why we're drawn to the people we're drawn to. And I think it's also a really helpful conversation when we think about boundaries.
Yeah.
And I think it also leads to that point of like patterns, right? We have a pattern. That's what we've seen. And how do we break it? But if we can't see it and we're so in it, that allowing ourselves to take a step back and look at the pattern and see how we set the boundary so that it changes in a way that's kind is so, so important.
It comes also to what you're talking about, patterns. It's also, you will never get perfect at setting boundaries, let's say. And for some people, that's fine. But for others, it might start interfering with their lives, right? With their precisely stress levels, health, emotional health, etc. And that's when you start to say, okay, I need to learn how to set the boundaries. And setting boundaries is just the recipe or the ingredient it's the ingredient in a bigger, larger recipe that comes with self-compassion, right? Digging deep into this, like people pleasing, why am I doing this? The attachment, what you were just saying. So it's definitely a piece in the puzzle of other issues that we have to just like deal with to live a big life.
Like I said, like every conversation I had this week was in some way about boundaries, but all of my clients are very different people and dealing with very different things. So, but it is an undercurrent in kind of the things that cause us a lot of stress and suffering in our life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the grasping and the clinging, right? I mean, into like sort of like the Buddhist psychology and sort of like applying Buddhist teachings to psychology, and that's what it is. Sort of like the source of the suffering is like this grasping and clinging of all these things that we think we need, right? And the stories that we believe, right? You I'm doing this because I'm believing a story that I'm going to be rejected and not connected to my family or to people, or I won't deserve their love or something mm-hmm. like that.
And I think it's part of that is also I do this way because I've always done it, and this is what uh-huh. I think that works for me. And then you realize, but wait, if I let go of the attachment, if I let go of the outcome, then suddenly things become easier. And that's one lesson that I've learned over the last couple of months, where I'm like, oh, when I let go of the attachment and of what the outcome should be and what it should look like, and just did my own thing and stayed in my lane, then things suddenly started to work out really well, and the things that were not supposed to be in my life are suddenly like slowly like going away with no drama, there's nothing negative attached to it. And it's like, oh, okay, so this is how it should work. So like when we hold on to old patterns, then it becomes more difficult.
Right.
We make it more difficult for ourselves.
Right. Well, and you know, like there's some problems that people have that like are very that not in our heads, you know, mm-hmm. that we really need skills to learn how to and manage our moods and our anxiety. But oftentimes when I'm working with people, what I see is that like they're in a jail and they are totally locked in, but they also hold the key. And it's about like that this is self-imposed, that there's an unwillingness or a fear of trying something different, and that actually the freedom is right there.
Exactly.
We're not waiting. They're waiting for someone else to say, this is how I'm going to open the door for you. But actually it's
like that moment of discomfort that I think is like, we don't want the discomfort, but once we're in it and we go through it, we're like, oh, that wasn't that bad.
And sometimes the results are positive because then people adjust to you, mm-hmm. right? It's like, okay, I need to leave work at this time. And then it's like, oh, okay, Lena is that person who does her work, is professional, but leaves at 5. She needs to leave at 5, let's say. Mm-hmm. And people adjust, and we fear that they won't.
And
right?
It's not the end of the world. And it's not,
exactly.
That's like a perfect
exactly.
example. So I think this is a good point to kind of move into the positive part. And both Lena and I believe that one of the biggest ways to reduce stress is to look at what we're grateful for, what's positive in our lives. So we want to ask you, what does living a big life mean to you?
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, you know, my life is really busy. Like I have 2 kids and I have a full practice and, which I love. So, but it's about kind of creating, I really believe in like rituals because I'm too busy actually to keep track of the things that are good for me. Mm-hmm. So like my best friend and I just made the decision last week that we're going to get dinner on a certain night every week. And
that's
not going to happen. But if it happens 2 or 3 times a month, like, oh,
that's
my God.
Awesome.
Right. That's so like, that's what I mean. We just have to create the space. Like, mm-hmm. am I going to be a little more tired the next day? Like maybe, but it'll actually be worth it.
Because it's something you right. want to do. Yeah. That's awesome. So what's one thing you're excited about?
I'm really excited. When I said earlier, there's some things that doors open. You're like, yes, I want to do this. So mm-hmm. I was just offered to teach, a short course at, a school that I went to do some additional clinical training at. And that's I start on Tuesday and I'm so excited and really nervous, but I'm so excited about it. It's really
that's
exciting
great.
For me.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. exciting.
And then where can people find you? So if this resonated with people, how can they get in touch with you?
So I have a website. It's mm-hmm. LeslieKSanta.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Instagram at LeslieSanta, LICSW.
Awesome.
Good. We'll make sure we look for you there. Leslie, this was great. It was great having you on the show. For our listeners, I really hope that this conversation was provoking and that we've planted the seed for you to maybe start setting boundaries or at least start trying to set boundaries. I think that some of the biggest takeaways from today was that I think a big one is that boundaries are modeled, right? We aren't born with this skill, that it's a skill, that it's modeled. And if we have been raised in a household where we haven't seen it, it will be very hard for us to realize sort of like these power to set boundaries. But also, if you're wondering, should I set boundaries? And maybe some of the red flags are if you feel guilty when you say no to things, or when you feel resentment when you do things or are expecting reactions or responses from other people. And also when you feel, as you said, Leslie, that internal voice, that inner voice, when you override that inner voice, maybe that's also a sign that you could have probably set a boundary. And also the shooting. Shooting, right? I must. Yeah. I wanted to make it an ING. I couldn't. I must. Right? When is that necessarily true? So those are red flags. And also, when you want to put it in practice, start small and find support. And then write it down or find someone that you can sort of like practice. How do you say, how do you set boundaries in a clear and kind manner? That's very important, the kindness and how clear you do it.
Also, I would say that you can only reminding yourself that you can only control your reaction. You're not for everyone, and that's okay. And what you decide that works for you might not work for somebody else, but you can't control that, and you never will. So I feel like that's something that we need to be reminded of.
That's a big one. So don't miss next week's episode. We'll be talking to a very, very interesting woman. She's a trailblazer in the anti-slavery movement and an advisor and speaker. And her current research and writing explores optimizing philanthropy and humanitarian efforts for meaning and positive impact. So be sure to tune in. You don't want to miss this episode.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're enjoying the show, please be sure to share with your friends and also give us a review on iTunes. See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.